indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dipto?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Here.
Mayor Botello?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have first before us the minutes of the June 4th, 2012 regular meeting, 2012-15. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. They are approved. We have next before us the minutes of the June 11th, 2012 special meeting, 2012-16. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. Madam Manager, agenda changes.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have two of them, please. Please remove Resolution 2620, a resolution adopting a municipal drinking water supply plan, because the revised water plan was not available to the public for review until mid-afternoon last Friday. This resolution will be rescheduled in September. Also, please change ordinance serial number 2011-11 on AQ on your consent agenda with the new ordinance that was handed out in the red folder. The only change in that is the serial number has changed to be 2012-20A.
Thank you, Madam Manager. That brings us to that part of a meeting open for public comment on non-agenda items. This is a time for people to comment on issues that are otherwise not on our agenda tonight. And we've had three individuals asked to testify during this time. Accordingly, the time allotted to you is a maximum of 5 minutes. And I'll begin with Mr. Mike Peterson.
Good morning. No, good evening. My name is Mike Peterson, and I reside at 724 Fifth Street over in Douglas. From 1978 to 1986, I owned and operated Peterson Crane Rental. And from 1991 to 1995, I owned the Douglas Cafe. And during those periods of self-employment, I was a good steward to the collection of sales, city sales taxes, and submitting them on time. On April 29th of this year, 2012, there was a story in the Juneau Empire about not such a good steward. A downtown business owner agreed to plead guilty to five misdemeanors for failing to file and remit sales tax returns. The guilty plea was for the years 2010 and 2011, and the tax amount owed or agreed upon was $191,800. This amount is to be paid back over a 10-year period at $1,919 a month, and the business owner must also remain current with his quarterly sales tax remittance as well. And as I read that story, there were three items that came to mind. Number one, there were 33 original misdemeanors for failing to remit or pay a sales tax return from September of 2006 to approximately to June of 2011. The city wanted about $223,000, and the plea bargain agreed on $192,000. So this person was forgiven $31,000 for not paying their sales tax, is the way I looked at it. The second one was the city and borough of Juneau in the sales tax regulations state that unpaid sales taxes shall be assessed at a 12% per annum. And the plea bargain amount that they agreed upon was 3.75%. over a 10-year period. And, you know, if this story illustrates the enforcement capabilities of the city and borough of Juneau, I wouldn't be at all surprised if more business owners chose to not pay their sales tax. And the third one was, how did this happen? How did this get under the radar screen? And what, you know, what happens if this person leaves town? So I just had a couple of thoughts about maybe, you know, just a couple of ideas I wanted to throw out there, maybe to keep or lower this from happening again. And one is a business license issued by the city and borough of Juneau. The city of Skagway currently has this in effect. And it's $10 a year. It merely becomes a tool. And every year, when the businesses in Skagway apply for a sales tax, the sales tax administrator cross-references that business license with sales taxes that have been paid or they're owed, as well as utility bills, if there's any past due there. And if they're not current, they don't get the business license. So it's a good tool to that effect. Another thought that I had is, when I looked at sales tax regulations, I didn't see that there was any kind of a X amount of dollars, that at this point, this is what the city does here, and at this amount of dollars, this is what the city does there, in terms of unpaid sales tax. A thought would be to maybe apply a percentage scale, because everybody has different amounts that they owe. So perhaps if a business is behind at this percent, then the city could send out a letter. And if it's a little higher percent, then maybe, you know, a little more punitive damages, so that there's a finite thing that people can look at, because right now I'm not sure that's what's out there. And then, you know, this is not to vilify the business, it's just to kind of point out that given that the city and borough has a new city manager, a new finance director, a soon-to-be new mayor, that it may well be advantageous for those people, the sales tax administrator and the law department, to meet with the finance committee and to review the current enforcement procedures and due process. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony tonight.
Thank you.
Mr. Albert Judson.
My name is Albert Judson, and my address is on the letter I sent to the city and borough of Juneau. I'm also a registered voter and a resident. If you have a hard time hearing me, I'm hearing impaired, so I talk loud enough so I could hear myself speak. And it's not because I'm mad or angry or anything. It's just so that you understand. I have to thank you for allowing me to use my First Amendment rights. And the topic of my First Amendment right is this right here. The city's proposing a route change to Capital Transit in the valley. And thus far, the advertisement to the public has been really inadequate. I got this from the city office myself. And when you look around town, you don't see any bulletin boards. The only reason why you see one at the library is because I gave a copy to a librarian and asked her to send copies to all libraries. And people that ride the Capital Transit are low income and go to libraries. So they're known up to the time that I got this out to the libraries. It was last Thursday. And so the people have not been notified, the people that are going to be directly impacted by this route change have not been notified, and they're totally unaware of the change proposal. And there's meetings scheduled for June 27th and July 2nd and July 5th, it's like I said, the only reason why that there's notices at the library is because I took a proactive effort myself, and I asked the librarian to put it up, and she did. She sent it to all libraries. That's the only reason why these signs are up, and I posted some myself on bulletin boards, but that's what should be done by the city. I'm not a city worker. But I do believe in what the city does. I want you to understand, I do believe in what you're doing. But I do believe that the effort that's been made with Capital Transit route change is very inadequate and very poor. The only place you'll see signs right now is at the libraries. The date and time for these hearings should be changed to a future date and time. Better effort should be made other than volunteer citizen efforts. People from the city and borough should be doing this, and the word should go out. Even if the proposed route change was good and we had a chance to vote on it, I would vote no. In fact, I would campaign against it with everything I've got, very simply because there are no maps or pictures or anything about the proposed route change, and very, very few people do know. And Capital Transit, most of the people that do ride Capital Transit are very low income. They don't have computers. It's very hard for them to keep up with everything. And the only notices that they can get are at libraries or on bulletin boards. And there are none right now, all except for at libraries. And so there's nothing that's been proposed by the city for Capital Transit that I can agree with. I would have to say no until they show me a reason to say yes. And I had one question on this issue, and I would like to know if the city has enough money in the budget to add another bus to the fleet. If they do, then perhaps this is a way to avoid any negative conflict or negative impact to the public. And the people in the valley and the Riverside Drive, it would be needless to have this, as I see it, and it's like I said, it's very little advertisement, and the proposed meetings of June 27th, July 2nd, and 5th should be changed to a future date and time, and I appeal to you, as an assembly, to convince Capital Transit to change these meetings until there is adequate public information out there where the people could see it for themselves and make their own decisions and come to the meetings and give their reasons why they're voting yes or no, or why they would agree or disagree with this change.
Thank you, Mr. Judson. Let me ask if there are any questions. Thank you for your testimony. Next, Mr. Mike Williams.
Thank you, Mayor and Assembly. I'll be brief. I'm going to comment on two things. I'm going to stick to my notes. The first one is an incident in Auk Lake. I won't get into it. But my concern is about regulation safety. I have a friend that's a doctor. I won't name his name, but he's on Auk Lake. He's born and raised there. He recently inherited his family's property. He gave it up because he was tired of gardening and he wanted to have a life. And I wrote this to him. And I said, the young lady died this morning, and a 16-year-old girl that I raised since she was six saw it all. What are your thoughts on this? This used to be your neighborhood. I figured you have some well-rounded, wise thoughts. And he came back and he said, Michael, I'm sadly, and I'm surprised that it has taken this long to have a serious accident, but it is so sad to hear that somebody so young has died. He was born and raised on Auk Lake. I used to launch my boat from his backyard on Auk Lake. My thoughts are to improve safety at Auk Lake. Establish clear legal authority for regulation of the lake. This hasn't been done to my knowledge. Develop motorized, non-motorized, and swimming areas and hours of operation has been done, but not enforced. Limit size, speed, and horsepower of motorized vessels. Within the motorized area, have defined directions of travel. Prohibit float planes on the lake. My thoughts go to your daughter. No one should have to witness that, especially so young. She was a really special young lady. The last thing I'm going to comment on is, I don't want to pick on names, but a local radio station said that somebody maneuvered and swung somebody into the way of possibly traffic. the law of the rules of the road on a waterway are. The who is towing has all the right-of-way. That is it. If you are towing something, even a noodle, you have the right-of-way. That's it. Done. I'm not going to talk anymore about that. The next subject I'll be brief on is 16B. I'm speaking for myself, my experience, and where I'm at, born and raised in Juneau. I'd like to comment on 16B. History. I've been a lifelong resident of Juneau and Douglas. I earned funds for college commercial fish, mainly out of Juneau area, but also throughout Alaska. After completing a BBA in management and liberal arts, I almost pursued a career as a commercial gillnetter. However, IFQs ended that option for me and many others, and it did. After this period, I decided to pursue a vessel tonnage license, which I have, and is still current, though I do not use it. After a few years, I started and maintained a part-time commercial dive company that I'd love to get out of, by the way, because I'm getting older, that is busy and keeps my ties to the waterfront. While attending a planning commission meeting on 16B in January, I listened to comments by the public and commission members, and I thought that I'd give my comments and local knowledge. And although I wouldn't say I'm a professional, I do a lot of professional stuff, and I have a lot of local knowledge, a lot of local air expertise. Huna, Excursion Inlet, Glacier Bay, first on the Lekane when it hit the rocks outside of Sitka, I was there. And I've been known for doing some stuff up north that's really quiet for the government. Taku Smokery's area current. The current issue. They say that there's a current there. What current? Since 2001, I have done underwater surveys for Taku Smokery's on the air, on the fish tailing waste pile. It's pretty messy, by the way. I do these for Huna Coal Storage, Excursion Inlet, Sitka Sound Seafoods. Every year I complete these surveys that are required for waste permits and reviewed by agencies. From November to December 22nd, 2011, myself and partner dove 20 times at the Taku Smokery's fishery area. On different days, a variety of times, never did we or have we experienced a current on the surface or at depths from 70 to 155 feet. I'm getting too old for this, folks. I've been there. And we call this the dark hole. This is the hardest one to do of all the surveys we do. What we have experienced is better visibility on an outgoing tide. Safety. I've heard a lot about older vessels, boats with older chain steering mechanisms. These boats are restricted in maneuvering and confined areas have difficulty. Maybe these vessels or boats should be upgraded. I'll try and be quick and end it here. If 16B causes an issue that makes me concerned about other safety issues that are not being addressed at local harbors and marine waterways, with these older vessels maneuvering, so if I heard correctly, the current configuration causes issues, but when entering a harbor or dock facility with the same vessels or boats in what I would assume to be more restricted area, the same vessels or boats do not have an issue? I found that to be contradictory. If they can get in Harris Harbor, if they can get in Aurora, they surely can get in 16B area. There's not a doubt in my mind. I could go on, but my time's up. I would like to thank you for your patience, and thanks for your hard work. Good day.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Are there any questions? Again, thank you for your testimony. This concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We move next to the consent agenda. And again, calling members' awareness to the change in the title, actually the serial designation to Ordinance 2012-20A and the deletion of Resolution 2620. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda as amended and ask for unanimous consent.
I realized I left out one step here. Is there any item on the consent agenda other than an ordinance for introduction that a member of the public wishes to have withdrawn so testimony may be taken on that item? Seeing none. Mr. Stone, I return to your motion. Let me ask if there is any objection to the motion. Hearing none, We move next to ordinances for public hearing, and we move first to ordinance 2012-26. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to remove the restriction on Berners Avenue access to and from Professional Plaza.
Madam Manager.
This ordinance would allow the Professional Plaza property to have a secondary entrance and exit onto Berners Avenue. Currently, the office complex is served by one driveway onto Glacier Highway based on action taken by the Assembly in 1985. Now, the property owner and engineering department staff agree that secondary access would be beneficial to the property. To address neighborhood concerns, the Berners Avenue reconstruction project, which is happening this summer, will be built with traffic calming features that will slow traffic and discourage cut-through traffic. If this assembly adopts this ordinance, the owners of the Professional Plaza property would have to apply for a modification to their existing use permit, and the construction of a second access would be considered by the Planning Commission. The Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended this action at its February 27, 2012 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Two members of the public have asked to address the Assembly on this matter. I call first on Mr. Nathan Young.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for the opportunity to address you folks. I live at 9414 Berners Avenue. I'm raising a small family there, own my home, and plan to make this area my home for quite some time. I'm very concerned by this. I'm asking in your support in not letting this move through for a couple of reasons. This is a residential area and a residential street. However, it experiences volume way above and beyond a normal residential street. There's a number of reasons for this. This is one of two primary entry and exit points for a fairly large subdivision. It services the main entry point for the popular Evar Dyke Trail. And the first half of it is the designated truck route for the wastewater treatment plant. The engineering department identified last year in their study prior to the reconstruction of Berners Avenue that there was an ordinary amount of traffic that comes through here. Prior to the reconstruction, it was a very poorly maintained street, lots of potholes. We routinely have people going anywhere from 35 to 40 miles an hour. There's a conception that there's a cut through to get around a couple of traffic lights. So it already draws a lot of traffic. We knew this when we bought our house. We were fine with it. What we're not interested in is additional traffic being added in here. The owners of the plaza have brought forward the idea that there's an emergency egress access for emergency vehicle issue. Last week I spoke with the CBJ fire marshal. He said there's no violations currently to the national or local codes. And so I just ask you not to support this and help us maintain a safe neighborhood and residential street, which it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next, Ms. Janet, is it Thrower?
Thrower.
Thrower. Yes.
Okay. My name is Janet Thrower. I live at 9416 Berners Avenue. And I testified on this issue in 1994. And at that time, they had an overhead projector. So I made an overhead for presentation tonight. And apparently, it only works with the computer now. And so I made copies of a map. Thank you. I would like to begin by thanking each assembly member for your careful attention to this situation. Your decision here not only affects Professional Plaza, but the many families who have invested and lived their daily lives in the neighborhood, which contains Berners Avenue, Radcliffe Road, Muir Street, and Eagle Street, which are the streets that have been impacted by the cut-through traffic and previously by Professional Plaza traffic. The current ordinance under consideration states that Professional Plaza strongly desires a secondary access to their property. They have stated that most of the traffic would use Berners Avenue to access Glacier Highway, 200 feet or so south of their current access. There's a little square that I drew onto the map, and that's Professional Plaza. I guess I needed a larger, I needed to blow it up more. There are times during the day that access to Glacier Highway involves a wait, but this is true of cars from Berners Avenue as well as those from Professional Plaza. Routing traffic onto Berners Avenue will not change the situation on Glacier Highway for those cars turning right. Most of the day, there is no waiting time to get onto Glacier Highway, either from Professional Plaza or from Berners Avenue. I live there, I drive by, ever since this came up, ever since I found out about it, when I drive by, I check the driveway at Professional Plaza, and most of the day, each and every day, there's not traffic waiting. Turning left onto Glacier Highway at busy times is the issue here, and could be avoided by turning right and using our neighborhood streets. And if you see on the map, if people turn on Berners, which they do, and then go down to either Radcliffe or Muir Street, and then over and out the other side of Glacier Highway, they can avoid, when they stop and go and stop and go and stop and go, it's quicker than going to a traffic light and waiting to get through a traffic light and then waiting to get through another traffic light. The problem is that an access on Berners Avenue acts as a magnet, pulling a steady stream of commercial traffic through our neighborhood to and from legal appointments, eye appointments, financial appointments, dental appointments, chiropractic appointments, medical appointments, and trips to the hiring hall, to name a few. People begin to think of this access and our neighborhood as the way to get to Professional Plaza. This has been denied, but we have experience. In the early 1990s, Professional Plaza paved a Berners Avenue access. It drew attention to itself and was not open long precisely because it was so well used. A person couldn't help wondering where all the traffic was coming from or going, and it was easy to glance down the street and find out. They were going in and out of Professional Plaza. A lot of them, not all, of course. Further evidence. When I went to pick up a copy of the ordinance, the person helping me was surprised to see there is currently no Berners Avenue access, because when she used to go to Professional Plaza, she used the back way, meaning she cut through our neighborhood to get there. The engineering department has concluded that this access would, quote, promote safety and public convenience, end quote. The question is, safety and public convenience for whom? If Professional Plaza is convenienced a couple of times a day when there's heavy traffic with not having to wait for left turns to Glacier Highway, our neighborhood is inconvenienced by a steady stream of commercial traffic all day long. Is Professional Plaza safer with commercial traffic routed through a residential neighborhood, even if that neighborhood has new streets and sidewalks? The neighborhood is certainly not safer. Radcliffe was rebuilt a couple years ago with sidewalks and 12-foot lanes. It has become a raceway. The engineering department also recommended 12-foot lanes for Berners Avenue to route truck traffic through instead of going around on the truck route. We do not yet know the effect or lack thereof that modifications will have on Berners Avenue traffic when the rebuild project is complete. The engineering department did not consider quality of life issues important to a neighborhood when making its recommendations, such as the noise and tension created by a steady stream of traffic. Professional Plaza has promoted access to Berners Avenue as a safety issue in the event of a fire or accident closing off Glacier Highway access. In the 22 years I have lived on Berners Avenue, I do not believe this has happened more than once. Maybe not at all. It cannot compare to the safety issues involved with routing commercial traffic through a residential neighborhood on a daily basis. If this were truly an issue, every cul-de-sac would be required to have a second access. As I testified in 1994 in regard to this access, before the Planning Commission, all the conditions that existed when Professional Plaza was begun still exist. Section 3 of Ordinance 8502 was meant to protect the integrity of our residential neighborhood. I ask that you uphold the buffer between residential and light commercial by voting no on serial number 2012-26.
Thank you, Ms. Thrower. Are there any questions? Yes, Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Ms. Thrower. This was before the Public Works and Facilities Committee, and when it was, the proposal was, as you said, for 12-foot lanes. I know it's only under development right now, but do you know for sure if there are they?
There are going to be. They have narrowed it to 10-foot lanes, but I must tell you that even during the construction, people determinedly fly through there on the rocks, and even the construction guys are amazed at the determination with which people continue to go through there while they're working, some of them.
Ms. Danner.
And then just we also agreed at the Public Works meeting that there should be a stop sign.
There is a stop sign.
Okay, good.
And so there would be, if people go through our neighborhood, there would be 4 stop and goes. Even if they cut down Muir Street, which they used to, because a stop sign has been put on Muir Street, and I put it, that's where the little box with the 4 dots are. But I have talked to people that have told me, you know, why do you care how fast I go? It's a street. And they say, you know, that it's a lot easier. They would prefer stopping at a stop sign because it's just stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, rather than turning left on Glacier Highway and going out to the traffic lights. So.
Further questions? Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Dreyer, I just wanted to have a clear understanding that you referenced several times to commercial traffic. How is that defined?
Well, I am thinking that any traffic that has that people who have appointments at Professional Plaza and drive through our neighborhood, that's not neighborhood traffic. It is traffic that pertains to a commercial development. I'm not talking about like commercial trucks and things.
Thank you.
Further questions? Mr. Keel.
Just to make sure I'm understanding right, it sounds like your concern is less about folks leaving Professional Plaza and using Berners to access Glacier Highway, adding congestion to the intersection, more about folks leaving Professional Plaza and using the neighborhood to access.
Heading out the road.
Ah.
Going out the road. People routinely cut through the neighborhood, but when the driveway was open to Professional Plaza from Berners Avenue, it was steady traffic, and a lot of it, and it drew my attention because I live on Berners, and I wondered where it was going and where it was coming from, as I said, and it was very easy to look down and see their driveway and see the cars coming and going. I don't know how traffic could be restricted to turning left, which is something else that Professional Plaza owners have said, well, you know, we'd have it restricted to just turning left and going out onto Glacier Highway. But if the traffic is busy on Glacier Highway, pulling in 200 feet down from the driveway is not going to make it any less busy to get out onto.
Further questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I move assembly approval of ordinance 2012-26. I ask for unanimous consent, but I would like to speak to it. I believe that the staff has done a good job of addressing all of the various issues. It was well discussed in the Public Works and Facilities Committee over several meetings, and I believe that these issues have been addressed properly. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Mr. Keel.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I wonder, Madam Manager, if we might ask for a little bit of the history and perhaps the grand bargain in the 1980s that brought us to the point we're at now. Can someone shed light on how we got here initially?
Yes, I'd like to have Mr. Watt come up. He's done the history on this project.
Mr. Watt.
I don't know all of the history, but we touched on the issue first when we began to talk about reconstructing Berners Avenue, and we saw the half driveway constructed, and we thought it made sense to connect that driveway from the commercial property into the truck route. And so we included it in our early plans, and then we later discovered that the professional plaza permits prohibited that connection. And so we suggested the Planning Commission review it as part of the review of the city project. And then we later realized that there, in fact, had been an ordinance as well prohibiting it. So that led to the discussion at the Assembly Public Works Committee level, since it was an Assembly action that prohibits the connection. And when we had a fairly robust discussion at committee, and out of that you have the ordinance before you today. So it was an issue that started nearly 30 years ago, I guess.
Ms. Becker, followed by Ms. Crane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Watt, I think that there was a safety issue about the getting out of Berners Avenue versus Professional Plaza as far as vision. Can you remind me about what you said about that?
Well, I mean, what we would say for Professional Plaza is it's a you know, it's a fairly sizable complex, and it has a number of visitors, and any subdivision or commercial complex like that, we would recommend a second access for police, fire, maintenance, utility repair, any of those things. Having one access can be problematic. So we thought that it made sense. With regards to safety in the neighborhood, we recognize that Berners is a well-used road, and for that reason, as part of the construction project, we have two sidewalks on the project. And on review at committee, the committee further decided to pursue additional traffic calming measures, which included narrowing the traffic lanes even more than our recommendation, and placing a four-way stop at the intersection. So we think that the sidewalks, I think, protects pedestrians, and the stop and the narrowing of the lanes, I think, substantially discourages cut-through traffic. Additionally, over the years, the changes that DOT has made with the Old Glacier Highway and Egan intersection, that greatly reduces the attraction for somebody cutting through and going out the road. There was testimony submitted by Professional Plaza, and they indicated that they thought it took a lot more time to go that way and that it really wasn't desirable as a cut-through route.
Ms. Crane?
I just had a question. Since there's work going on in the area now, Professional Plaza has not yet applied for a modification to the Planning Commission?
That's correct, and they can't apply until this ordinance is passed. So this would be a two-step process. The Assembly ordinance would allow them to apply for a modification, and then they would have to go to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission could hear the driveway for...
But the Planning Commission step then allows the neighborhood an opportunity also to provide information to the Planning Commission. So if it goes on to the Planning Commission, the neighborhood has an additional opportunity to review this.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's I think it's a good issue for the Planning Commission to take up.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you. I wanted to clarify the entrance to Glacier Highway, Berners Avenue versus Professional Plaza. I thought you had said that one was safer than the other as far as turning left, I think it was.
That stretch of Glacier Highway has a lot of driveways that come into it. Burners, and generally you'd like to funnel traffic towards your better intersections. Burners with a stop sign, I think, is a better has a better left turning movement onto Glacier Highway than the Professional Plaza driveway. I don't think it's a huge difference, but I do think it has some advantages.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Watt, I'm especially sensitive to the neighborhood concerns, and I think that we've talked in Public Works a great deal about trying to accommodate their concerns and sort of diminish the through traffic nature. Have we done everything that we can do? Are there signs that make the truck route clear where it turns on Ladd? If the Professional Plaza section of Burners before it gets to Ladd is the 12-foot width that Ladd is, can we make that the truck route and then put a stop sign to get out of this little neighborhood 10-foot wide lane also? I mean, I'm asking if there are other ways that we can help the neighborhood to be even more neighborhood-like, less through traffic-like.
Well, the Public Works Committee has gone beyond my recommendations in addressing neighborhood concerns, and so I think you've done enough would be my opinion, but you've done more, and that's fine. With regard to the truck route, it's a truck route to the sewage treatment plant, and I don't think we have a compliance problem. It's employees and contractors to the plant, and there's no advantage to going one way to the other, and by policy, that's the route that they take. So I don't think we need to do anything different to enforce the truck route.
And just to follow up, the place for additional mitigation would be at the Planning Commission when a permit is applied for?
Professional Plaza would be applying to modify their use permit, and the Planning Commission could look at the whole list of criteria that they typically use for use permit analysis.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Hearing none, there's been a request for unanimous consent. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to Ordinance 2011-11-AL. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $260,000 as additional funding for the Juneau International Airport fiscal year 2012 operating budget, funding provided by airport fund balance.
Madam Manager.
This appropriation is needed because the airport experienced unanticipated increased costs due to snow removal, fuel price increases, unexpected repairs, and increases in both rates and usage for electricity. Revenues were less than anticipated due to delays in lease and departure lounge concession negotiations. The airport board recommended this action at its March 14, 2012 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2011-11-AL and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Ordinance 2011-11-AM. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $250,000 as additional funding for the Public Works Streets Division fiscal year 2012 operating budget, funding provided by the Roaded Service Area Fund Balance.
Madam Manager.
The Streets Division also experienced unanticipated increased costs due to snow removal that included additional equipment rentals, additional fuel usage plus price increases, and purchase of additional chemicals and additional snow contract snow removal. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of Ordinance 2011-11-AM and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Ordinance 2011-11-AN. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $600,000 as additional funding for the Bartlett Regional Hospital Fiscal Year 2012 operating budget, funding provided by the Bartlett Regional Hospital Fund Balance.
Madam Manager.
Bartlett Regional Hospital experienced unanticipated increased costs related to recruitment, personnel, formerly contracted employees and now Bartlett Regional Hospital employees, and higher than anticipated bad debt expenses, requiring this additional $600,000 appropriation. The hospital board recommended this action at its May 22, 2012 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-11-AN? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd move Ordinance 2011-11-AN and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We move next to Ordinance 2011-11-AO. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $100,000 as additional funding for the Public Works Fleet Maintenance Division Fiscal Year 2012 operating budget, funding provided by the Fleet Maintenance Fund Balance.
Madam Manager.
The Fleet Maintenance Division had to take care of the streets equipment to address the additional snow loads this year, so their costs increased by approximately $100,000, which is what this appropriation is for. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Ordinance 2011-11-AO and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Brings us next to Ordinance 2011-11-AP. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $207,397 as funding for the Capital City Fire Rescue Staffing Adequate Fire and Emergency Response Recruitment Program, grant funding provided by the United States Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Administration.
Madam Manager.
This is a multi-year grant and was originally appropriated in March of 2009. The focus of this grant is to provide recruitment and training for volunteers. Scholarship funds are provided to volunteers that participate in the live-in program. Marketing and other program costs, such as funds for banners, displays, and handout materials, are also included. To date, 36 people have completed this program, and another 12 have just started. This grant has no match requirement. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that Ordinance Serial Number 2011-11-AP be adopted, and I ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Madam Manager, any staff report for us tonight?
No, thank you.
Mr. Attorney?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And we move to assembly reports. We'll begin with committee reports and the Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on June 11th, where we took up the West Douglas or North Douglas Road extension, as well as the water supply plan.
Next scheduled meeting is
Monday, the 2nd of July.
Monday, the 2nd of July. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
We move next to Human Resources Committee. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee did not meet this evening, as it usually does. Instead, we are meeting, in fact, the full assembly, sitting as the Human Resources Committee, will be meeting this Wednesday, the 27th of June, to consider applicants for Docks and Harbors, Airport Board, and Eagle Crest Board.
Thank you. That brings us next to Lands and Resources. Ms.
Thank Becker. You, Mr. Mayor. I, the Lands Committee approved the Docks and Harbor request to lease tide land to Doug Dracano, a 35-year lease for $2,271.65 annually. The lease is for general use, and there's no intention to sublease. The July 2 meeting has been canceled, and our next meeting will be July 25th.
Thank you. That brings us next to Finance Committee. Ms. Crane.
There will be a Finance Committee meeting this Thursday evening beginning at 5:30.
And the subject of that meeting is?
To begin deliberation of the 1% sales tax projects.
And with that, we move finally to Public Works and Facilities Committee. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee has not met since our last assembly meeting, and I'd have to ask the clerk for our next scheduled date. We haven't really set an agenda for it yet. Thank you.
We don't have that date right at hand. Stay tuned. We'll move then next to liaison reports. We'll begin with Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The school board met at the beginning of June for its last regular meeting of the year before their summer schedule, and there were approximately 22 school district employees retired. It was a very heartwarming event to recount their professional histories with the school district. That concludes the liaison report. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Over the past several meetings, the Planning Commission has had continual updates to the 2008 Comprehensive Plan. The process going chapter by chapter has been time-consuming, very tedious, but productive. And I look forward to having the Assembly look at that work. Thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Nothing this evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The ribbon cutting took place on June 22nd for the new Visitor Center. It was a nice occasion. Nice speakers. JCVB is in the Visitor Center using it full access, and they're very happy, the ones I've talked to. The Mike Pusich Douglas Harbor. They're working with the Army Corps of Engineers, the Alaska District Corps of Engineers, and who will help them with an environmental assessment. And they hope to have the necessary permits by December 2012 and the renovation contract by fall of 2013. Aurora Harbor is the Dobson Harbor is developing a scope of work to award a design contract. Other things Dobson Harbor is doing, they're developing a lease for Petro Marine for a fuel dock at Stater. They're setting regulations for DeHart patrons to move to Stater Harbor. And they're thinking about leasing some parking spaces at the Mike Pusich Douglas Harbor to Douglas Fish and Game. The Alaska Committee, one of the, well, two great things, I think. Alaska Committee has sent out voting cards to 30,000 new voters in the state of Alaska. And they've acquired two airline tickets and some other gifts to give to winners of people who stop by and to the booths in Palmer and Fairbanks to, as an incentive to get them to come by and see us and visit. And that's all. Thank you.
Ms. Stanton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The airport board will have its next meeting at 7 p.m. July 11th, I'm sorry, at the Alaska Room, and the local emergency preparedness committee. Its next meeting is at noon at the Bartlett Regional Hospital on July 11th.
Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The hospital board is going to meet on Wednesday the 27th. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend because I'll be meeting with you folks on board appointments.
With that, we go to assembly comments and concerns. I'll begin with Mr. Wanamaker.
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
No comments, Mayor. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wonder, Madam Manager, if we might hear about the public notice that's being given for the meetings to talk about potential changes to the capital transit routes out of the Mendenhall Valley. I know the Assembly asked that capital transit get some input from folks in the affected areas, and we had public comment tonight. I wonder if there was some more information that could be provided about what we've done to reach out to the community on that.
Sure. Currently, there's been a survey that's been created that's on the Capital Transit webpage. You can go on that, and I encourage everybody to go to juno.org and and then go to Capital Transit. There was an ad in Sunday's paper in the Empire talking about the changes, talking about when the meetings were going to be held, the times of those meetings, and also contact information on that ad. There was a mailer that was delivered to the possible affected areas, neighbors in the areas where the routes had changed, to let them know about the meetings, get that information out, and that was supposedly out in the post office boxes on the 21st. Mr. Duncan will be on Action Line tomorrow discussing the meetings and providing more information on that, and there also will be a copy of the posters on all buses.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you. I think the posters on the buses are likely to have the greatest impact and effect in getting the word out to Capital Transit passengers. I have not seen those posters. Do they have any description or map drawing of the proposed change?
Yes, they do. They do have some maps on there, so it'll draw people's attention and hopefully enough to say, okay, I need to find out more about this and attend the meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Beck?
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Danner?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Stone?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
I have two or three items. First of all, I think that Mr. Peterson's request to us that we at some point have a discussion in Finance Committee about our enforcement mechanisms for collecting sales tax has a lot of merit, and with the remainder of the body's permission to ask that Ms. Crane add that to a future agenda of the Finance Committee.
I've made a note of it. Thank you.
Great. And Mr. Williams' testimony about safety at Auk Lake, I think many of us have been contacted, and of course our sympathies to the families that have been particularly impacted. But there have been concerns about the adequacy of our signage and delineation of the motorized, non-motorized portions of the lake. And I think it would, I trust this may already be underway, but to have Parks and Recreation examine that. And finally, just a congratulations to all the volunteers on Gold Rush Days, which was a great success, almost too great a success in terms of the crowds that were generated. Douglas loves it, and I think people should be proud of this community activity. With that, we have before us next an executive session scheduled to get a further update on annexation and discussion of options to the Assembly. Mr. Hartle, could you advise us again on the propriety of an executive session?
Yes. This is a typical use of the allowable executive sessions under the Open Meetings Act, namely to give direction to our legal team, in this case, regarding our response to the decision by the Local Boundary Commission.
With that,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Mr. Wanamaker?
This is Mr. Wanamaker. I'm a director of Gold Belt Incorporated, and I believe I have a conflict of interest. So if you'll make a determination, I will be happy to step down. Thank you.
Mr. Wanamaker, I will make that determination that you do have a conflict and must recuse yourself, and I excuse you for the remainder of the evening.
Thank you, and good night, all.
Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that we move into executive session for purposes of discussing our options, our legal options on annexation.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on the propriety of this executive session? Seeing none, public participation is closed. And again, is there objection to the by any member of the body? Then we'll take a 3-minute at ease and allow members of the public to leave the chambers. I expect this will be of short duration.
you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, Peter's fine, Peter. Since the Yankee come to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
We're back on the record at the point that we recess into executive session. We did so for the purpose of receiving an update on the annexation petitions. We have received status reports. No action has been taken by the body. And with that, Madam Manager, anything further come before us tonight?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Hartle?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Assembly members. Seeing none, we are adjourned.